Music from Louie and the Lizards for you here on KDNK. That's called Big Blue Wave at 30 minutes past the hour. And you are listening to the one and only KDNK. Hello, and welcome to Geek Speak. Support for Geek Speak comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. My name is Steve Skinner. I'm here with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, Steve.
And Matt McBrayer from the Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Hello, everyone.
We're taking your phone calls at 970-963-2976. Want to talk about your smartphone, your computer, your pad, your pod, your remote, your network, your printer? What's going on out there? 970-963-2976. Always great to hear from our listeners. We love it when you have problems. Right, guys?
Right.
Have you gotten your new pair of Snapchat spectacles yet, Steve?
No, but I was looking that over. That looks pretty fun.
Yeah. It's, you know, if you can get by with only 10 seconds looped, you know.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. That's the whole
Snapchat. I thought it was six.
Oh, sorry.
Or is it 10 now?
Well.
One or the other. It's
here,
not very long.
Let me play the video again. No,
you
kidding.
Better explain it to me again, because I guess I don't understand what I was seeing. I was seeing a really cool video, but what are
well,
they?
Well, you know, a lot.
They give you like a 3D
lot remains
look?
To be seen. Well, I think the idea is basically it's they're glasses with a camera built into them, and you activate by touching the temple, and it will then record a regulation length Snapchat video.
Copy.
And then I guess the question is, how do they interface with the world?
Probably just pop it on Facebook or whatever for you.
Well, I'm wondering, but it would have to have some sort of an uplink, so, I mean... I guess I'll
Bluetooth to your phone or something.
Well, you know, KDNK, a couple of weeks ago, we did Facebook Live. Have you guys tried that yet? That's where you can go from your phone right to your Facebook page and broadcast live.
I've done the Google version of that with Hangouts and with Google or whatever it is, Facebook or not Facebook Live, but the other one.
Uh huh. But this embeds it on. You know, this gets embedded on your Facebook page, and then. It gets archived on there too, so you mm-hmm. can you get the video later. It's pretty neat,
and you can. It's two way. You can do it back and forth, or it's like a chat on Facebook.
No, it's just Facebook Live. So if I wanted to do the
like
show live,
Steve
I could just
Skinner
videotape you knuckleheads.
Channel. Got it. Okay,
and then put it on my face. You know, while it's
all right,
filming.
Okay,
goes live onto Facebook.
I can't imagine why we wouldn't want to do that.
I think we should do that starting next week.
Yep. I think we need to get Modern Marty in here to do that for us.
Do it on my laptop. I'll bring the interface in.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do all it. 970-963-2976, the number to call to get through to get to GeekSpeak here.
So the Snapchat spectacles are being distributed through, what are they called, the Snapchat bots or something? What do they call it? They're basically pop-up vending machines that will show up just... at any given, well, any not given spot. Let's see, I guess right now it was at Venice Beach and now it's up in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I think the dispenser is called a Snapbot. And it looks like a big yellow thing with a big eye, like one eye on it. So, and so... let's see. I'm looking. So that's one story that we've been following. And got any stories you're following there, Matt?
Well, it looks like Adult Friend Finder and all of its subsidiary sites were hacked recently.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in the neighborhood of 412 million accounts in mm-hmm. total. So
what do you think? Do you think maybe this is like a Russian assault on the American institution of marriage?
Is the Russians doing it?
I don't think so, actually. You know, nobody's pointed the finger in that direction at this point. But I guess you can download the database yourself. And but
that's a lot of records.
It is.
You need some terabytes.
You need some database smarts to be able to actually take and
have useful questions,
doing something with it. You know, it's like, I suppose you could like have a like kind of cull it down to, I'm posting all of the people's names who have the letter A for their last names begin with A, you know, put that all up on my website or whatever. So, but so bottom line is there are no secrets. Not really.
So, not on the internet anyway.
Not on the internet.
With insecure databases.
Yeah, exactly. It's just it blows my mind that people, you know, that the lackadaisical, you know.
Yes, I guess you need to use Proton Mail instead.
Tell us about Proton Mail.
So it started by the people at CERN, and I'm a little rusty at this. I'll have to get the, but basically it's in a secure data center under 1,000 meters of rock.
Okay.
So you run a custom client on your phone or on your tablet or computer, and everything is encrypted on your end before it gets sent to their data center. So as long as you choose strong encryption keys, so i.e. good passwords, theoretically, you know, nobody can get at it, since the only place it exists unencrypted is on your device.
Got it.
Which is very different from how mail typically works, as we know.
Yeah. So as long as your device doesn't get hacked. See, there's always a vulnerability. There's always a way that it can, you know, a place it can break down. So, yeah.
It's more often that, like, databases get breached and say, what does a hack really mean? Does it usually ruin equipment or is it ruin software?
It's really a kind of a co-opted term, because you have the hacker community who take, you know, you could take a computer and, you know, take a bunch of disparaged parts and put them together, and that's hacking in the traditional computer.
Just building a computer.
Yeah, you know, taking something that isn't necessarily designed to do something and making it do something that it wasn't necessarily designed to do would be a very general hacker
one. I wish I was good at that.
So, you know, these are security breaches and but we've come to use hacker as a colloquialism for a data breach, or, you know, again, making something work in a way that wasn't necessarily intended, you know, so somebody doesn't build the interface to the database correctly and doesn't, and it basically allows the arbitrary execution of code ask questions of the database.
Yeah, it always starts with the vulnerability, basically, you know, something that was overlooked in the original code as it was written, and it basically an injection of code, and basically there are like little cracks in the programming that allow hackers to insert their own code and get it to run. And once they can get the code inside and get it to run on the inside, then it can kind of open doors from the inside out, and you know, allow them to
doors, you know, that you don't necessarily want opened.
Definitely not. Do not want opened. So, yeah. So that's a really good question. I mean, a lot of people don't understand, you know, and you know, but hacking can be as simple as, you know, you hear people talking about their Twitter account getting hacked or you know, whatever.
Yeah, and many times it's social engineering, or there's brute force. So if you're talking about username and password type things, so,
you know, I often think about government agencies, a school, a place like this, you know. Do you get to the you get into the network, and then all of a sudden you can poke around all around, if unless everything's really password protected and stuff, right? I mean,
right. In theory, you know,
do people try to do that? Is that stuff that people are trying to do?
Oh yes,
oh yeah, definitely. Especially, you know, there's a lot of targeted corporate espionage. You know, it's I mean, what better way to, you know, get inside your competitor's head than to
be reading their emails?
Yeah, exactly. To get in and, you know, get into their file repository and their server and, you know, really snoop around in there. And a lot of times you can psych somebody out by, you know, just, you know, indicating that you know something about them that that you shouldn't, you know, would be one way of doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as hacking passwords, it's generally done, and this may be kind of an old school explanation of it, but people who hack people's Facebook accounts or whatever generally use what we call a brute force password cracking program that it has a dictionary of
so
a couple
usually
hundred thousand words or whatever.
So usually the way you do it would be you do a dictionary attack, and mm-hmm. so you have a dictionary file that has each line of the text file and says A and then whatever ab, and then, you know, it goes through, mm-hmm. you know, maybe 100,000 popular words or maybe mm-hmm. 250 or 300,000 popular words. And it, you know, tries those and it tries combinations of those. So like, mm-hmm. you know, if you have two words put together for your password, it would
like
try that.
Password?
Yeah.
Password
like
word.
Stay out.
Yeah. Log me in.
Keep out.
That'd be like the third one on my password.
Sesame.
List.
Sesame's another one.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people like, yeah, they think it's cute to put the word sesame in there, but it's like very high in the priority.
Yeah.
In the,
it's the top 500.
The password cracking dictionary.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's one that I'll use manually.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the questions that I always kind of had was, so, you know, if I try to log into my log me in account, four, five times, and I put in the wrong password, I get locked out. Okay. So, I mean, how difficult and boring is it for a hacker to try to break into somebody's log me in account? And then I was basically turned on to the idea that the system that limits it to five passwords only does it over it's five passwords over a certain chronological time slice.
Well, I use a tool called Fail to Ban.
Mm-hmm.
And so in there you can, so like if you try to connect to my server to access it, there's a program on there that keeps track of how many times you've tried to log in from that IP address and with that username. And if
any username,
mm-hmm. even if it's correct or not,
mm-hmm.
After you've made, you know, typed in a username and typed in a password, and then you've typed in five more passwords after that, it says you're done for 10 minutes. So I don't
go to your room.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these systems that are getting broken into will, it's a matter of, they kind of like go, a human being can only try this many passwords, you know, in 5 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever.
Yeah. And that's
so what they do is they have these brute force password cracking programs that are able to blast like literally thousands of passwords at the system in 10 seconds. I mean, that's how fast it's happening. It's basically trying. It's hammering away that hard.
Uh-huh.
And that's how they get in, you know.
Well, and you have to do that to have an effective, median time to crack the password. So yeah. If your dictionary attack fails, then it becomes much more difficult. And then it has to start saying, is one the password, is two the password? Now, it's doing this, you know, a thousand times a second over the internet.
Yeah.
And
in a haystack.
Yeah.
Password cracking, as they call it.
Yeah. Now, there are, you can use rainbow tables, which is a pre-calculated hash. So, for example, if you have a computer, and one of them, the one I was looking at is 600 gigabytes, this list of all the hashes for all the possible passwords.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can pre-calculate that if you want, and instead of having to calculate the hash for each one of the passwords, which is how you get
mm-hmm.
which is how the password's stored securely.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it makes this giant database of billions and trillions
mm-hmm.
of passwords, and it goes through and tries to match the hash instead of having to calculate each one.
Got it.
Now
you know way too much about this, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, now this being said,
you got to know the hackers if you're going to protect
that's
against
right.
them.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I think the current record is 4.8 quadrillion password tries per second.
Wow.
So
they got a much better computer than I do.
Mostly the GPUs do all the mm-hmm. password the hashing.
Okay.
Of that. So it's
got it.
So for a normal 8-digit password, it takes like 4 minutes if they get the file that has the hash.
Got it. Huh. And is there a password cracking system where you can just plug in a person's plug in the name of their pet, and it's like it increases the success of the program?
That wouldn't surprise me one
by about 300%, right?
Yes.
So because you know.
Social engineering.
We hear people's passwords all the time, and if your animal's name is in the password, unless your animal has a really strange, you know, bizarre name, then you're probably okay. But still,
it's still in the dictionary, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. I mean, if your password is Sparky123, you know I'm talking to you. So, anyway. So that's our security rant for the day.
It sure was a beautiful day today.
It was an amazing day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like to think it's because of all the additional technology that's running. It's keeping the world warm.
You're probably right.
It's good news for guys like me and Matt, you know. So
for a little while.
Yeah. For a little while. So I suppose we should mention that if somebody calls you and tells you that something's wrong with your computer, they're probably lying.
Yes.
So, just saying.
They're trying to get your $300 credit card transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll probably give the credit card information to somebody else who will run the same transaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you may think that Matt and I are really boring, but we deal with people all the time who have been separated with their valuable, their hard-earned money through exactly these types of techniques.
I've noticed a lot of phishing lately. I've seen a lot of phishing. Your invoice is ready, you know, things like that. Your product has shipped. I didn't order anything, you know. Just to click on the attachment to see it.
You know
and
what?
And of course, I just send them right to Louis.
You know what the most important factor in computer phishing is? You know what FOMO is?
No, I give up.
You know what FOMO is, Matt?
I've heard it before, but I can't remember.
It stands for fear of missing out.
Yes,
and,
there you go.
Basically, the number one most, the one that I probably 90% of the people that I've dealt with in the last 3 months have been the victims of FOMO. And it, in the form of a email that comes that says UPS delivery failure notification.
Yeah.
And click here for more information.
That is brutal.
And it is. And that because is so it's brutal. Like, oh my God, you know, even if you aren't expecting something, you do not want to miss out. You know, well, maybe somebody you don't know sent you something really valuable, you know, and who knows?
So if you want to, there's a way to fix that particular problem.
Yeah.
So go to UPS.com, sign up for UPS My Choice, and anytime that somebody makes a shipping label that matches your name and address, they'll send you a notification above and beyond.
It says for more info, click here?
No. No.
What? Just kidding.
It'll just say that there will be a package, you know, coming next day.
Yeah.
So it gives you 1 day warning that there will be a package showing up at your door from UPS.
Yeah. Now, does FedEx have an equivalent to that?
I haven't looked into that.
Yeah. But because some of these say FedEx failure notification as well. But if you, I don't know of FedEx or UPS ever actually doing that. I mean, sending a failure notification. We have a call.
Hey, you're on with the Geeks.
Hi, Geeks. It's Donna.
Hello, Donna.
Hey, Donna.
I'm listening to your great conversation here. I just wanted to add that, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I had think the one of the best things I did was set up text message notification anytime my credit card or my debit card is used.
That is a great.
Do you do that through your bank?
You do. You do it through your, whether it's your credit card company or your bank for your debit card or whatever. Yep. And it's been working out really well. And so when I get a notification, for example, I just got one where you were talking about the phishing, one from PayPal saying, oh, we shipped your iPhone to, you know, England or something through PayPal. And I'm like, well, first of all, of course, I didn't order anything through PayPal, but immediately I went to PayPal.com just to make sure that nothing came from my credit card. But I also have PayPal set up for a two-factor authorization, so anytime I order something, it has to send me a text message and yada, yada, yada.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
You know, to approve the purchase.
Super good security tip right there.
Yeah. You make me look bad because I have no factor authentication turned on mine.
So that's called one click?
Oh, exactly. It's called one click. And every time I do it, I'm like, God, this is so cool. Until I start getting stuff that or buying people stuff that I didn't want them to buy.
My friend's 18-month-old ordered me a watch. That way.
Nice.
With one click?
Yeah, they had a Kindle and they had one click turned on.
You're not talking about my grandson, are you?
No.
Okay.
He hasn't done that yet. He's not as nice as the guy.
Yeah.
He might. He probably will.
He'll do it. So anyway.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw my two cents in.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So.
Yeah, this weekend I'm actually leaving for, believe it or not, Ireland. So I'll be, maybe I'll have some interesting Irish news when I get back after Thanksgiving.
Nice. Did you just like quit your job or something?
No, this is part of my job.
Oh,
man, you have got a great job. You're so cool.
Although
and you're going to fit right in Ireland because you've got the red hair and
like
the fair
skin. Ginger girl, you know. So
I know.
All right, anyway. You behave yourself.
I'll listen to the rest of the show. Thanks,
all right.
Guys.
All right.
See ya. Donna Dalton checking in from the West Coast. From Santa Monica, Baja, Mexico City, Los Angeles, DeBerg.
So it looks like FedEx does have a similar tool to UPS My Choice.
Yeah.
It's called FedEx Delivery Manager.
Uh-huh.
So that may be a helpful thing to have set up for those two common carriers.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, and if it comes from DHL, you know it's a bunch of...
Yes. Well, eventually it'll get
I actually received a package from DHL the other day. Yeah, it was.
They have trucks here again?
Well, this guy left Denver. I think he had four packages. And he had to go from Denver to Grand Junction, and I was one of them. So it was.
Wow, they usually hand it off to USPS.
Yeah, no, this guy, I got a package from DHL at my house. So it was pretty spectacular.
963-2976, 970-963-2976. That was a great tip from Donna. I'm going to call my bank tomorrow and see if I can get that notification.
You can do it online. You can log on to your online, to your bank account.
Can you call and talk to a human too?
No.
Online.
Okay. You wouldn't want to do that because then they might hack you.
If you do it online, it's more of a chance to get hacked.
Yep.
Except for everything's encrypted between you and the bank.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Still okay.
Still possible, though.
Okay. Did I tell you about the phone call that Mrs. Garage Door got
a month
or so ago?
Tell me about
that. She got a phone call from a guy posing to this. So Mrs. Garage Door is my mom. So, and she got a phone call from a guy posing as my son, who had been, I think, thrown in jail in the Dominican Republic or some evil medieval place.
Still conceivable.
And needed
just kidding.
Needed her to wire in some bail money.
Really?
Yeah. So
and she jumped right on that?
And I am so proud of her because she, you know, sat and chatted him up for a little while, but she finally just went, she smelled a rat, and she went, and it wasn't a rat in a Dominican jail. It was, she smelled another rat, and she said, "So tell me about your sisters." And click on the other end.
Oh. Excellent. So, that's an excellent thing to do.
Good job, Mom. I know you're listening out there.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That's a good thing to set up with your...
She was born at night, but not last night.
No. Definitely
that's
not.
For sure.
So, yeah. So.
That's probably a good thing to set up with your sons and grandsons and daughters and...
What, to tell them not to go to the Dominican Republic?
Well, no, have some sort of authentication, some sort of verification of who they are.
Well, that's a really good idea.
You know, have a common phrase or something that the conversation
It'd be called,
has
like
to
calling Alpine Bank. It's like, could I get your code word?
Alpha Bravo Charlie 3. Oh.
Rover 123.
Yes. Great password.
Yeah. So, no, that's a great idea. I think we just invented that right here, right now. In this day and age, that you set up some sort of a password with your kids.
And, yeah, so you know you can verify that they're in trouble or not.
Because these guys knew. This guy called in and said, "Hi, Grandma, this is Brendan. I was traveling down in Dominican Republic, and
knew the name and everything.
Except he had a very thick accent.
It must not have been too bad because, you know, she like thought for a few minutes. It's like, wow, I really didn't know he's down there, but sounds like he needs me, you know, type of thing. So,
you know, my mom, she gets scammed all the time, too. Mm-hmm. These guys, they're always doing little things, and I just, I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
My mom's coming. I'm going to take her stuff away from her. You can't use your phone anymore.
What you do, man, just like Donna was saying, you just forward her phone number over to your phone. And you screen her calls for
really? No, thanks. No way.
That sounds even worse than your mom getting scammed, doesn't it?
Yep. You don't want to talk to Microsoft?
I just...
Yes. From who knows where?
I'm calling from the internet.
Yes. Anyway, thank you so much.
Yes. So, yeah, but there's still plenty of that. I actually just bailed a family out this week that had been parted with hundreds of their dollars. From a guy calling from the internet.
You've been listening to Geek Speak here on KDNK, underwritten by Umbrella Roofing and Louie the Computer Guy. I'm Steve Skinner, here with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thank you, Steve.
And Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Have a great evening.
Stay tuned for local and national news right here on KDNK.